Well, folks, welcome to the Noble Man Podcast and another episode of what we call Manhood in the Media Spotlight. And I'm just kind of reading articles all the time, paying attention to what's going on in the landscape in Christian journalism and secular journalism, just kind of looking for things that catch my attention where I see, okay, this has a manhood component to it. And so out of the gate today, I want to, this article from Christianity Today, Dateline October 25th, so it's a very recent article, and the author is Russell Moore. Title is Let the Children Play, Their Lives Depend on It. And so Russell Moore here talks about a study that I actually have here. It's put out by Peter Gray, PhD, and some colleagues from the Boston College Department of Psychology and Neuroscience. The title of it is this: Decline in Independent Activity as a Cause of Decline in Children's Mental Well-Being, Summary of Evidence. Well, that's a lot of words. But let me get to the bottom line here of what caught my attention about this. It's this idea, and you can read it. We'll link to both of these things. It's this idea that our children today are growing up in environments where most of the free time, and I would put that in quotes, most of the free time that they experience, most of the play that they experience, is not what many children, according to this study, would consider play themselves. Now, that sounds kind of weird. What do I mean by that? Well, one of the interesting things from the study was that they showed children pictures of other children playing. And in some of those pictures, there were just children playing and doing things and out and about. But in other pictures, there were children playing, doing things, out and about, but parents were in the picture. And if the parents were in the picture, the children did not consider that actual play. And so the mentality with that was that if parents are present and directing this and kind of controlling the play, then the children don't have freedom. And you may be saying, well, how much freedom do we need to give them? And so I get that. There are lots of questions about this. But the bottom line that they're coming to is that this idea, the challenge that we're seeing, it's not even an idea, it's truth, that we're seeing greater anxiety, greater instances of depression, greater instances of just heightened anxiety in children. And one of the parallels that they're making in this study, they're saying that part of that could be related to the fact that there is so little unstructured play available in the lives of our kids. Everything is directed. Everything is controlled. We take them to piano lessons. They're on a soccer team at 3 years old. They're playing organized soccer as opposed to give them a ball and let them go in the backyard and play. And so we as parents in this season, this time, have become so convinced that we have to raise the perfect kid and we have to put them on a pathway to a certain result, and we can manipulate that by controlling their involvement and their activities and directing what we do, and we lean in so far that they never have the freedom to just play, to experience risk and challenges, and to have to solve problems, to have to deal with interpersonal issues, to quite honestly get hurt occasionally. You know, one of the things that we talk about, especially having raised three sons who were fairly rough and tumble little guys, they learned pretty quickly that when someone does this to me, and I won't go into what this is, you might, whatever it is, fill in the blank. When someone does this to me, it hurts. So I know that when I do that to someone else, it hurts. And they experience pain. I remember one time Tim was climbing a tree. I said, son, I see the way you're doing that, and you're very likely to fall and break your arm here in just a little bit. Now, there, I could have said, stop, don't climb the tree. I don't want to break your arm. I just told him very simply, I think if you keep doing that, you're likely to break your arm. Well, you know, a couple of hours later, we're in the emergency room with a broken arm. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I would rather him learn some things and experience some challenges, deal with some pain, make some mistakes. I'm not talking about I'm going to let him play with guns and knives in a dangerous way so that he could make fatal mistakes. But I'm talking about we need to create spaces where kids can fail in a way that they can recover from. They need to fall sometimes. They need to experience disappointment. They need to not have every situation that they're in controlled and masterminded and manipulated by adults who are trying to orchestrate a particular outcome in their lives. And so that's what this whole unstructured play is about, because little children who learn how to solve their own problems become middle schoolers who have capacity to self-regulate and figure some things out and deal with interpersonal issues. And then those kids probably become high schoolers that are a little bit more skilled and wise about how to deal with life's challenges and ups and downs, and a hard situation doesn't rock their world. And then those folks become adults who have better tools in their pockets to deal with the challenges that they may face. Now, you know, is this 100% foolproof, absolutely true? Probably not. But I do know this, that the more practice we give to young people, the more opportunity we create for them to experiment and explore and understand God's world and the interactions of life and people and circumstances. And if we as godly Christian parents will help them to see the Lord's hand in that, and we will pray with them through that, and we will encourage them to walk with the Lord, to respond in grace and truth, and to seek the Lord, to look for his hand at work all the time, then we have an opportunity to equip them to be adults who can do that for themselves and not need as much engagement or not be petrified when a crisis comes. And you know, as I was reading this, the Bible character that just jumped into my mind, there were several stories that came to mind, you know, when, I mean, it was 3 days, I think, before Joseph and Mary realized, hey, Jesus is not with us. Where is that guy? And he was back at the temple teaching folks when he was 13. You know, they left him when they were on the road. So I thought about that story. But the thing that caught my attention most was the story of David. So I'm just going to skip through a couple of things in 1 Samuel 17. Now Saul and all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle and shouting the war cry. Scholars believe that David was probably somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. So he's been tasked with taking some provisions to his brother who are participating in this battle. They're drawn up battle lines against the Philistines. His dad's given him an assignment to go and take the food. But before he does that, he has to make sure that the sheep that the family owns are taken care of. So David's a player in the family business as a teenager. So he's got some responsibility. I think that's awesome. How did he learn to be responsible? Well, he had to have grown into that. He had to practice being responsible. I'm at verse 34 now. But David said to Saul, this is King Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Now, folks, our guys are fairly robust, Tim and Zach and Ben, so proud of them and what they're doing, but they haven't fought any lions and bears yet. And so I'm not advocating for that, but we need to put our kids in position where they can learn to deal with difficulty and challenge and sharpen their skills and not be paralyzed by a crisis. And that's what we see here with David. So I would just say to us as parents, as church leaders, what are we doing to help our kids become resilient and resourceful in the face of challenge? And it, because if you're controlling every bit of their story, if your sports experience, your scouting experience, if everything is micromanaged by parents and they never have to solve their own problems, then you will be solving their problems for their entire life. Just think about that. And think about the people that you know who in their seasoned adult years are still solving the problems of their 30-year-old kids. Do you want to be those parents? So let's think about how can we how can we adjust our parenting so that we give our kids an opportunity to learn the skills and the strategies for self-managing, self-regulating, and to do that prayerfully? Man, I think it's so cool that David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw. David doesn't say this was my strength. David says this was the Lord who empowered me, and it was the Lord who was going to empower him to do battle against the Philistine giant. And so we can teach and train our kids to have that sort of mindset. Now, I got to tell you, I'm really interested in more about this being outside, unstructured play, and what that looks like. So we're going to try to have a couple of interviews maybe with some guests who are digging into this a little bit deeply. There's some great books out there. There's some great resources. There's a book, I think, the title of it is No Kid Left Inside. There's another one about that's due to come out very soon that says when the street lights go off, and so that's when you should come in. You don't come even into the house until the street lights go off and it's getting dark. And so you have to figure out what that looks like in your context. But the goal would be to create environments where children could have unstructured play, learn to solve their own problems, learn to self-soothe, learn to find ways to play games and create activities that push away boredom. And in many cases, that involves nature. And man, what a great training ground for you to teach kids to be observant and to see the Lord outside in everything they do and to learn from Him. So that's a great challenge for us today. Manhood in the Media, the title of the original article was Let the Children Play, Their Lives Depend on It. And so we'll link to that as well as this study and maybe even some other articles. And folks, I look forward to having some interview guests on that can help us unpack this a little bit more and how we can do a better job in the church of raising resilient young people who not only are healthy and well mentally, emotionally, but also spiritually. And it's those types of folks that are going to go on to advance the kingdom and take the gospel into places where they're going to have some creative solutions. They're going to have to be resilient. They're going to have to be great with interpersonal skills to be able to take the gospel to places where we haven't seen it proliferate yet. So thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Manhood in the Media Spotlight on the Nobleman Podcast. And would you like and subscribe? Share it with someone else that you think would enjoy this material. God bless you, folks.